Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast.
Welcome to the Dr. Hockey Podcast. This is Dr. Jay Calvert on with Dr. Jason Berkley. We are both post-Stanley Cup crazy. Just have a lot to talk about. Jason, how are you doing?
I'm fine. I think we talked about it before that one of the factors that may have counted against Tampa was just how much hockey they've played in the last few years. And 100%. If you think about it, so training, I mean, again, there's no excuse. And again, I'm not a Tampa fan, so I don't have a dog in this fight, except for the fact I just despise the Avs. But I will say this before I say anything else, I do want to say the only shining silver lining to this whole thing is that I'm happy for Darren Helm as a former Red Wing that he got another cup. That is the only positive I'm going to say about it. But again, when you play hockey and you're talking about a season from basically starting, you know, the training doesn't stop for these guys really, but you finish up second, third week of June, you're back at it literally 8 to 10 weeks later, kind of getting into a training camp, whatever else, and then season starts. That's not much time for healing, for full healing of a broken rib, deep bone bruise in the tibia, shoulder separation, whatever else the injury that might have been potentially grand or as small as you want to make out of it. Those things don't heal, really heal, you know, in just a matter of about 8 to 10 weeks necessarily.
No, they don't.
You know, so that is a factor, the fatigue factor, whatever else. Look, they got back to the Cup Finals. It's not an easy thing to do, especially in a cap era. You know, again, not taking away from the Islanders from, you know, four cups in a row and so forth. But, you know, things were different back then. The game was different. And I still say that the Islanders are, and I wrote a paper about this in ninth grade. I wish I could find it. I was at Cranbrook in Michigan where I went to school. And Mr. Liu's ninth grade class, I had to prove a theorem and I had to do a paper about it, that the Islanders were the best franchise team of all in all of history in the NHL. Now, this is back in the early 80s. I wrote this.
Well, I think that's correct.
Yeah. I'd love to find that paper. I don't think I'm ever going to find it. But it's a lot of hockey. Colorado didn't really have an injury bug. You know, they got past it when they had Kadri out, but they were so deep, it didn't really affect them necessarily. And he came back and played, scored the game, overtime winner. I mean, that was such a pivotal moment.
Yeah, you know, it's huge. I think you're right. The Avalanche had the cards stacked in their favor a little bit with the altitude issue. Vasilevsky said he felt very tired after that second game, like being up that high. It's just, I think there were multiple factors, but I don't want to take away anything from the Avalanche because they were awesome. They have a great team.
Yeah, they do. And look, I can't remember who it was that said, you know, you have to ask the question, what do you recommend a team do to kind of mimic your success? He said, get a Cale Makar. That's as simple as that.
Just get Emily Kaplan was doing that interview.
Yeah, Emily was doing that. We got to get Emily back on. She's great. She did a great job through the playoffs and the Cup Final. But get a Cale Makar. And look, there are some teams that do have a defensive player that's of that caliber. And I happen to think Mo Sider from the Wings, of course, is that caliber. And he's only, just after his first season, wins the Calder. I expect only great things from him. So there are players out there like that.
And they're going to be modeling themselves after Cale Makar and Bobby Orr and Nick Lidstrom. I mean, it's definitely going that direction because – What a huge weapon to have somebody that can play both ways like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, it's very hard to defend when the defender's defending you and scoring. I mean, it's just, you know, that's not an easy thing to do.
So my brother told me that Andrew Cogliano had a players only meeting before that game. and told them that, you know, they needed to focus, like they need to stop talking about what they're going to do when they win the cup and start thinking about how they're going to win the Stanley Cup. And right. Evidently it was a pivotal meeting. It brought everything home. You know, Coggs has been around for a while, you know, and he knows the deal. And I had a bunch of times I got to talk to him while I was playing for the Ducks, and he's that guy. Like he loves to play hard. He loves to do well, but he's all about keeping your head in the game, which is why he has all those shorthanded goals and everything that he does.
Sure.
And I think he was pivotal. He made a big difference for that team, you know, and I think maybe that's why they handed him the cup pretty early in that rotation. I think it went to Landeskog, Jack Johnson, and then Coggs. And then it went to Nathan MacKinnon.
Sure. Yeah, no, 100%. You know, look, it was a well-deserved. They played a great series. They were just all over them for those first two games. I mean, it was just, you know, relentless. But again, you know, I'm
– Tampa Bay's a good team.
Yeah.
And, you can't count them out.
Yeah.
No way.
But so people are making a big deal about Kucherov and his behavior last night, where his stick broke and he went to go to by the bench to get a stick, and there wasn't the stick ready for him. And he was livid, threw his gloves at the equipment manager apparently and quit. Now I don't have the specific details. That was what I read and what was told. And some people were making a big deal. Like, oh, well, you're a professional. You shouldn't behave that way. But I'm sorry. You're down in game, you know, 6 of the Stanley Cup finals. Your team needs you. You're one of the top weapons on the team, and you break a stick. They have to have a stick there waiting with on a silver platter for you.
100%. The equipment manager is part of the team.
That you are literally the seventh man, if you will.
Yeah. 100%.
But you are the seventh man. You are just as important as anyone on the ice, because if a guy's skate comes loose or something else, you have to be able to patch him up and get, or whatever it is, and get the guy back out there. And if the guy breaks a stick and needs a stick, you can't be dilly-dallying and waiting around and not paying attention. You were derelict in your job in that. And that was something I don't blame Kucherov for being as pissed. Now, I don't know whether his reaction was justified or not, but in the heat of the moment, I got to take his side.
You got to be on the stick, literally, when you're in that situation, and not screw up your job.
You have one job. One job.
That's right. It's one job.
Yeah. I'm not gonna say it's not hard, because I don't do the job, but you have one job, and it's to make sure that one of the star players, especially, I mean, all the players are important on the ice, but when the chips are down, you got to make sure that there's a stick ready to go for any one of those guys. I mean, it's like a pit stop and some guy's not there in the back right wheel to change the tire, and then that's the end of the whole race. I mean, it's literally that important.
And by the way, I can think of goals that have been scored where the equipment manager did something. Like I remember a Sidney Crosby goal, and I remember Patrick Kane.
Yeah.
So I remember times like those where they highlight what the equipment manager was heads up, you know, seeing mm-hmm. what's going on the ice
mm-hmm.
and making moves that then go on to be like partially responsible for the fact that everything was ready and boom, the goal gets scored.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of times also you see a guy break a stick. He's in stride skating by the bench and there's a stick waiting for him like a runner
boom.
With a bottle of water ready to go. It's just, it doesn't break stride. That's what should have happened with Kucherov, and it didn't happen. And I don't know if that equipment manager is going to be back next year or whatever, but I don't blame him for being pissed.
Yeah. I mean, obviously everything counts in that game.
Yep.
You know, everything.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I thought that the Avalanche really brought it for this last game. I thought that they were battling, though. It wasn't like Tampa Bay did not roll over.
No.
In a game like that is if you, you know, obviously if you lose game 6 and you have to go back for game 7, now it's anybody's cup.
Anybody's cup.
And it doesn't matter that it's a home game. It doesn't matter anything.
No.
At that point, it is neutral ice.
Yeah. I learned that the hard way.
Anything can happen.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right.
You know, Jason, you have to remember that the year before that, the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup.
In Pittsburgh.
Remember that?
Yes, in game six.
Right. So they did win a Stanley Cup. I recognize that Pittsburgh came back and won.
I know that. I have the entire team signed jersey hanging up here, framed with a picture of the team with the cup.
But just because they lost one, you know, there's other bright spots for the
Red Wings. I was there for it. I don't understand why you can't understand that. I was there for it.
Well, I know. I'm aware of that.
I saw them winning on TV. I finally could afford a ticket. I was in person, sixth row on the blue line, 20 feet from that. Oh, forget it. Never mind. I'm getting myself worked up. But look, I think that you're right. I think that there are a lot of teams that are looking around and say, okay, how do we get a Cale Makar? What do we got to do to get a guy like that? And, you know, they try to copy the recipe.
Well, you know, like all recipes, you know, you can't copy it. You have to have your own interpretation. And I think that that's really the key. And, you know, Sakic and Bednar put together, you know, this, I've been saying it for the last 4 years that, you know, I think this team's going to win a Stanley Cup. And, you know, each year they kept getting derailed by something or something or something.
Injuries. But
I always felt like they had all the juice between. And by the way, Mikko Rantanen did not factor in a big way in the Stanley Cup.
Didn't hear him mentioned as much.
He had some assists, but like.
Yeah, didn't hear William. I mean, that shows how deep they were.
Yeah. I mean, he did not have the Stanley Cup finals that he, I'm sure, would like to have had. However, he's out there. He won faceoffs. He did the things he needed to do. And he's, you know, he was a key player.
Sure.
I think the guys that really stepped up big time for Colorado were, you know, their veterans. I think Kadri coming back was huge. I think, you know, they got, you know, great, you know, they got great performance out of Toews too. I mean, he really did. Devon Toews was a really an unsung hero of this Stanley Cup. He played incredibly well.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you know, Compher did good. They were getting a lot of performance out of a lot of their key players, and that added up to a win in the series. But,
and I'm going to say all this also real quick. Welcome to Detroit, John Cooper.
You think?
That's my suspicion. He's got nothing else to prove or nothing else to do in Tampa. He did it all. He won back-to-back cups. What else is there for him to do? I know he has 2 years left on his contract, but people can get out of contracts. I think he's coming to Detroit.
It'd be good for Detroit.
I think that's why he waited to see what's going to happen with this series and, you know, make a move. And I think that's what's going to happen. I'm going to make that call right now.
He's a hell of a coach. Do you know his story, like how he got there?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, he was like a lawyer and you know, start. I mean, it's like an incredible story.
He, as they say, fell into it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great coach and his attitude's right. And, you know, I loved every time they'd ask him, like.
He got criticized after game four for not being more like serious and whatever you want to say about being sullen and everything. He's like, I'm having fun. It should be fun. It's a game.
Yeah.
Yes, you get intense and it's definitely competitive, but what else is more fun than playing in the Stanley Cup?
That's right. And I think his attitude was the right one to bring. And that's how Tampa Bay got there. They were certainly not the favorite going into the playoffs.
And it was wrong to criticize about that. That's something that was an honest feeling from a genuine feeling from him. And I respected it. I would respect it from any coach that said that. Look, I'm not going to get all wired up about this. We're having fun. This is the best. What else is better than this?
Yeah, he's in the Stanley Cup final.
From a sports perspective, there's nothing better at all.
Someone wins, someone loses. That's part of the deal. And
kudos to him for being honest about it. And also, you're probably wondering why I do have a picture of D-Mac beating Lemieux turtling behind me. Just in case anybody wanted to check it out, it's really, really good on ESPN, the E60 special called Unrivaled, about the Red Wings Avalanche rivalry from the mid to late 90s. It was really well done.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And there's some extra bonus footage, I think, on ESPN Plus if you want to check it out there too. But it was really good. Darren McCarty, a friend of the show, actually, I texted him and thought how great it was. And I got a thumbs up from McCarty. So I was really happy about that.
Oh, that's good.
But he did a great job with it. And you know, the very final scene just summed up everything that Chris Draper said. You got to see it. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it was just perfect.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that rivalry was rough.
Yeah.
It was really violent and abusive.
Well, it was funny because Patrick Waugh said at one point during the show, he's like, after like the third time they were a team fight on the ice, he said, he goes, what the hell are we doing? We're supposed to be playing hockey. What are we doing out here with this nonsense? It was kind of funny hearing that from him.
Yeah.
But, I know. Yeah. But.
Well, I think, you know, it was a good series. I'm happy, happy that finally my prediction of the Avs winning the Stanley Cup. I guess if you keep predicting it every year,
yes.
at some broken point you'll be right.
Broken clock is right twice a day, my friend.
That's me right here, the broken clock. But I do think that Tampa Bay and the Avalanche getting to the finals, we kind of thought that was – I don't know if they were the favorites at the beginning of the year or what.
Tampa was. I think Tampa was definitely – Kyle, there was – coming out of the West, it was like people were talking Vegas. Some people were talking Calgary. You know, people had mentioned St. Louis a lot. You know, so there were a lot of different teams in the West that there was kind of more or less up for grabs. Although, yeah, Colorado was in the top few.
Teams,
but – I don't think there was really anything that was a general consensus that they were definitely going to, you know, across the board, people thought they were going to win or at least make it to the finals. But we got free agency coming up in what, 4 days?
Yeah. That's going to be fun to watch.
Really, really crazy to watch and see what happens.
Well, some people are going to move. They have to. It's not a question. It's like, okay, who's going where? Because I mean, these teams are overloaded.
I do feel bad for Corey Perry.
Yeah. Three times to the Cup final.
Only player to ever do that. He's lost every time. I mean, Mario Hossa, I think it was two, you know, because he was with the Pittsburgh the first time they went to the Wings. But, you know, look, I he's a great player. I think he's an asset to any team. He really is.
Well, I think he has a lot to do why those teams made it to the Cup.
You Absolutely.
Know? I mean, certainly for Montreal and for Dallas, I mean, his level of compete is insane. I mean, that guy is like, he doesn't put in 60 goals anymore, but that's not his job now.
His job is to make
things happen for the guys that can put in the goals, and he gets things going. I think Corey's he's an incredible player.
Yeah, he gets those gritty goals. That's what he's there for, veteran presence, and he's very physical still, and he's still got a lot more hockey in him. I hope he wins a cup next
for sure. Totally.
I don't know where he's going to go, but I do hope he wins.
He could be on Colorado.
Exactly.
then you'd have Manson, Cogliano, and Perry on there, who were all on the same team on the Ducks.
Yeah,
you know, Manson was probably happy to get that cup too. He did really well. He played well too. He did a good job. It's good for him.
Yep.
Nice guy.
Now we have no hockey for a few months, so that's something.
Well, you know, I think we're gonna. Well,
there's only the USFL. We can watch the USFL. I mean, that's.
No, but we will cover the draft. We'll cover the free agency, and I think we should get some of our pals back on and see what things. Obviously, as these things change too, what that's going to do for some of these teams, and we'll talk about that a bunch for the summer. So we're not going away.
Yeah, Emily, we got to get Emily back in here too.
Yeah, and I want Lauren Gardner is coming on too. And and believe it or not. One of my friends knows Patrick Waugh pretty well, so we're going to see if he can come on and chat a little bit too. I know it'll be difficult for you, Jason.
Okay, I want to be very clear. Look, when it comes to rivalries and hating another team, there are some players that stand out that you really just, you know, you hate them, but if they were on your team, you'd love them.
Of course.
I mean, I'll even, you know, think back about, you know, when we talked to Sidney Crosby at the NHL Awards 3 years ago, you know, we were talking to him. He's such a nice guy. I apologized to him. I felt bad because you're saying all those horrible things about him, which he was actually laughing and actually is one of the, I think he actually appreciated it, but it's true. I mean, you meet these people, they're people at the end of the day.
Of course.
They're emotional. They're competitive. And I know when I was playing sports, believe me, I did sing things and said things that I probably wish I could take back. But it's a heated
moment. You were hating on your first base competition.
Yeah, I'll be seeing him at my 40th reunion. I'm definitely going to lay into him there. But my point is that, you know, At the end of the day, though, there's still people, they have families, and, they're people that accomplish something in athletics that all of us dream of as boys and wish we could get to that point. And so it's easy to sit back and say, oh, you suck or whatever else, or chant a goalie's name or whatever. But the reality is that any of those people that were with us on the ice would just to smoke us. I mean, it wouldn't even be close.
No, not even close.
Now, if there was a briefcase with $10 million and they said, score a goal on Patrick Waugh, there's no way it's happening.
I could give you 100 tries and you wouldn't be able to do it.
No, you couldn't.
Yeah. I could give you 100. You wouldn't be able to do it.
Even now it wouldn't happen. I mean, it's just not possible. So I would love to talk to him, but certainly there still is that little smoldering kind of like,
I love it. That's why we absolutely have to do it.
Yeah, no, it would be an honor to talk to him. If he's available, it'd be great.
I think so. I'll see if we can get that arranged. And, obviously we need to chat with our other pals. And one thing we absolutely have to do is get back to Tamo's Steakhouse.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah.
That is the spot. So tell me the weekend. It's a busy summer. I know that, but we got to just carve it out and do it.
I'm there.
All right, man. Well, it's good. Good Stanley Cup. Let's, chit chat next week a little bit. We'll see if we get one of our pals back on. But this is the Dr. Hockey Podcast, signing off with your prescription for the NHL.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Hockey. Check out new episodes every Thursday and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or at podcastone.com.